Sister Annie thinks I'm a science project. But you know something? I guess I'm not so average anymore.
Hey everyone, welcome once again to the secret world of Cal and Jack, in which Cal and Jack watch Alex Mack. I'm Jack, and joining me as always, it's my main man, Callan.
Hey!
Callan. That's right, it's the podcast where we watch a 25-year-old Nickelodeon kids show and criticize it unfairly.
Yep.
And before we criticize it unfairly, we start every episode with one of these.
Don't you want a Mac Fact?
Callan, don't you want a Mac Fact?
I do. I really do,
yes,
Dad.
Scott, this is a good one. So, according to the IMDb trivia page for The Secret World of Alex Mack, along with fellow creator Ken Lippman, Tommy Lynch wrote the pilot script for the show. We spoke about Tommy Lynch a couple of weeks ago when we found out that we have a direct line to the creator, Alex Mack, via our on-the-ground reporter, Ian Reschke. So Tommy Lynch's father was a nuclear physicist who worked with radioactive materials that he kept in the garage.
Oh, my God.
Providing some basic inspiration.
Semi-autobiographical.
Semi-autobiographical radiation poisoning.
Yeah, wow.
So Lynch's childhood is also how he came up with the name GC-161, the name of the chemical that gave Alex Mack her powers. So GC is derived from DNA, like DNA research, guanine and cytosine, the two DNA base pairs.
Okay.
And which kind of makes sense. This one's a little bit weird, and I don't know if it's true, but apparently the 161 came about from Tommy Lynch's parents' divorce. Because he was 8 when his parents divorced, and 1 + 6 + 1 = 8.
That seems like, where did you get this information from?
IMDb trivia. That one seems far-fetched.
Yeah, yeah. But maybe, who knows?
But Dad keeping radioactive materials in the garage, that's a bit of fun.
Yeah. So do you think his parents were based, like George Mack is based on his parents?
Oh, God, imagine.
Do you think George Mack, like all the whelps and stuff, was like his childhood?
Could have been. Do you think he has like long lasting scars from being mwahed in the face every day?
Probably. And did his best friend Ray think he was cool?
Did your parents ever keep anything weird in your house?
Yeah.
Their son. Heyo.
Well, one time my mum had like a little side venture that she wanted to do.
Yeah.
At like the town fete, she wanted to do like a food stall.
Yeah.
But the food that she chose was a little bit too like, I don't know, like healthy and not, you know, the kind of things that people eat at fetes, which normally, you know, pies,
sausage and bread,
and those swirly potato things on a stick.
Yeah. What was your mum making?
I think she made like nachos was one of them, but they were like really beany.
And nachos Flanders style, cucumbers with cottage cheese.
But she bought like heaps of stuff and like just didn't sell nearly anything. Like
it was like
a huge
failure.
And then we ended up with this like chest freezer that was just full of frozen chicken.
Yeah, right.
Because I think she wanted to use this chicken, but no one ordered it.
Yeah.
And then we went away for a holiday over Christmas.
Yeah.
And the power went out. And the freezer turned off, and we got home, and the chest freezer was just like basically a pool of water,
all
of this rancid chicken floating in there.
No. I hate this.
That I had to clean out.
You did? Well, it wasn't your store.
Yeah, I know. This is just, you know, I had to clean it out. Yep. I'm pretty sure it made me vomit because it was so gross.
Gross. Well, speaking of gross stuff in freezers, my mum works as she's like a lab technician at a high school. So she's the one who gets all the experiments ready and gathers all the materials and stuff.
Like toads and stuff.
Yeah, well, we had this fridge out outside in the shed, which would keep like, I guess we keep drinks and stuff in it or the spare food or whatever, but every now and then you'd go in and there'd be a box of just like brains or something that's going to be dissected.
It sounds like it's just a good, no, I'm a lab technician. That's why the fridge is full of brains and women's heads. I think that we had a few cane toads in our freezer over the years because apparently, because we grew up in Queensland, there's just like heaps of cane toads around there and they're like a pest.
Yeah.
And apparently like that's the humane way to kill them is to put them in the freezer. But then you get these like rock hard cane toads. I don't know what you're supposed to do with them afterwards. I guess just put them in the bin.
Yeah, I guess so. Sell them at the fate.
Yeah, or you could like taxidermy them and put them in like funny poses.
You could. You'd have to teach them to like stand really still in the pose and then freeze them.
That's it, because they've got to die in that position because it's really hard. So the hard part isn't like getting them in the like to stay still. The hard part is to like coax them to doing a little Elvis Presley routine.
It's teaching them how to hold a little tennis racket with their little frog hands.
How to do the how's that movement,
the cricket thing. This was episode 12 of the second season of The Secret World of Alex Mack that we watched today. This episode was called Trophy Case. Callan, why don't you tell us what happened?
So this is a pretty run-of-the-mill emotional story between Alex and Annie. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've had a few versions of this episode, but this was maybe one of the better ones.
This was.
We kick off in media res. The family is having a really sloppy lasagna for dinner, which is apparently Annie's favorite sloppy lasagna.
Annie's favorite food is the world's worst lasagna.
I made your favorite, Annie, sloppy lasagna.
God, this family eats a lot of pasta.
Yeah. I think it must just be because if you're going to make food for the set,
food for TV,
pasta is probably the easiest thing to make that looks like it's a real meal.
Yeah.
So they're sitting around. Alex is regaling of the story that she's very proud of, how her and Ray have figured out a scam to get free mini donuts at the mall. But no one's listening to her because Annie is saying how she scored really highly on this English quiz and now she gets to go to the university and do like a creative writing course. As is often the case in these situations, Alex is feeling a little bit left out and wants to do something to get the kind of attention of her family. So she enlists Ray to become her extracurricular coach.
Yeah.
And she goes to try all of the different clubs at the school, none of which she's particularly good at. She joins the juggling club and there's a pretty funny scene where everyone is juggling and they're pretty good at it and she can't juggle, so she just uses her powers and instead of like faking juggling, because you know juggling the balls are moving, all the balls are just kind of like hovering in space and she's just kind of like hovering her hands around going, hey, oh!
Like fooling no one.
Yeah. I don't understand why anyone didn't notice. It's like, hey, those balls aren't juggling. Yeah, they're just floating in space.
Or why the juggling club is people juggling just completely independently.
Yeah. Surely there's like someone who gives you the basics. You don't just go there and expect to know how to juggle.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a little montage, which was kind of cute, of her trying all of these different things. She goes to the chess club. She joins the choir. She tries a bunch of different stuff. Mm. She's not good at any of it. And Ray is kind of, they have this pretty funny scene where I feel like it was a direct reference to like a West Wing Walk and Talk where she's got a cup of coffee and she's got Ray following her and she's like getting the agenda for the day.
Yeah. And they're kind of walking around the kitchen island.
Yeah. But because like, you know, West Wing is set in the West Wing and there's like all these long corridors for them to walk around. It works pretty well, but it's set in this really small kitchen. So she could really only walk from the bench to the table, which is about 2 meters long. But I did appreciate that they were trying something a little bit new, but it turns out that the thing that she was the least excited about trying, the quadruple H club, which is kind of like the junior farmers club,
animal husbandry.
And a few other H's that I can't remember what they stand for.
One is hats.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why she didn't just like really dive into that. But So she tries milking a cow, and apparently she's just like the most proficient milker that the world has ever seen. And everyone's just really blown away by how good she is at milking. And she gets asked to go to the Dairy Decathlon, which is this milking competition, which is apparently going to be televised over multiple days on cable television.
It's a really big deal.
Not just the one-off thing. It's like the event and then like the awards ceremony for the event the following day.
Yeah.
And so it's important to her that Annie is there to see her achieve something. Meanwhile, Annie has been going to this riding course who the professor is, I think they call him Ian McKee, and it made me think of Robert McKee, who's that screenwriting guru. And he kind of looks like the actor who plays Robert McKee in Adaptation, Nicolas Cage movie. It was just my headcanon is he's the like less famous younger brother of Robert McKee, who's telling everyone to like, you know, you must have action. So she goes to this class and she's kind of a bit out of her element because it's about being creative. And she is a very kind of mathsy, analytical person. And she has to write a very personal autobiographical short story. And she does, and Ian McKee is basically like, look, I don't want to hurt your feelings or anything, but that was terrible.
That was terrible, and you're terrible, and you should get out of my class.
Yeah, and if you don't do better, I'm going to have to kick you out of the class. So Annie is feeling a bit flustered about that and kind of forgets to go to Alex's big decathlon event. Alex is really peeved about it, but that doesn't stop her stellar milking performance.
She forgets about it, but she also doesn't think it's that big a deal or that interesting.
She's not really paying attention when Alex is asking her to do it. She's clearly like preoccupied because this is kind of the first time that she hasn't been great at something. So Alex wins, and she wins this she doesn't win yet, does she? She does performs really well, and they have to go again the next day to find out who wins. Because really make sense.
So the cow milking competition is on one day, and then overnight the consulting firm PricewaterhouseCoopers are going to tabulate the results. And
yeah, that's right.
Air them from the studio of like,
well, they're going to get all that mail in milk.
And then Alex refuses to concede, and so it really drags out.
But yeah, they come home from that first day, and Alex tells Annie that she's really disappointed in her that she didn't come, and she always like sees her do her stuff and she couldn't come this one time and she's really selfish. And then she still decides not to come the next day when Alex is actually getting the award. I think it's because there was a clash between that and her English class where she writes a kind of heartfelt story about how she actually really admires her sister. So Alex wins the award. She gets this giant trophy. She wants to show it off to Annie. So she goes to try and find Annie at her class and overhears this story. Which, you know, basically says how much she appreciates her sister. And she was going to go kind of rub it in her face and say, look, my trophy's bigger than your trophy. Hence the title of the episode, Trophy Case. But she overhears the story. She kind of decides better of it. Annie still gets kicked out of the class because she's really bad at writing. But yeah, and then they kind of make up. It was a cute episode.
It was great. I really liked this episode. I thought, like, even though we have seen this story of Annie being great and Alex feeling inferior over and over again.
This was a good version of it.
This was a good version. I think the first one was good as well when Annie, in the first series, where Annie was in the science competition at the chemical plant.
Remember?
That was a good one.
But
this one, I thought the story was nice. It was nice for Annie to learn a lesson because Annie's been a fucking pill lately.
Yeah, Annie is a bit of a shithead, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah, she's just, it was time for her to like, it was definitely time for her to fail for sure. So hopefully, you know, she learned something from this. But I thought aside from that, there was a lot of really good like comic pacing in this one.
It was
directed like more like a comedy, like the drop in, like you're saying, the West Wing style walk and talk, and the montage of Alex trying all the all the clubs and the, you know, she's in the choir and you can't hear her sing because it's a montage with other music.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's really giving it all this gusto and the choir master is like looking shocked and stuff.
Yeah. It's like nearly had the choir master like hold her nose and go pee.
Yeah. Yeah, say what you want about this show. They can put together a montage.
Yeah. And it was definitely another one of those episodes where there was absolutely no reason for her to have superpowers. Yeah. And all the times that she used superpowers, you could have just done in other ways. Like it was more like an episode of Boy Meets World or something like that.
Yeah.
But, or Wonder Years. But it's, you know, it was fun enough.
It was fun. And like, and then
it moved at a clip.
It absolutely did. And there was two side characters who I thought were really good. The milking coach was really funny.
Sir milks a lot. I like big udders and I cannot lie.
He was really funny. And the host, the MC of the milking competition was this kind of like Guy Smiley game show host vibe.
And
just the fact that it was a milking competition was so funny. It could have been anything.
Yeah.
Like remember the episode where she joins the track team?
Yeah.
Like and it's a classic TV thing of there's a big competition that we need our main person to win.
Yeah, yeah.
And like track, we've seen it, boring, la 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 la. But when it's like a milking competition and there's these really long drawn out close ups of Alex Mack milking a cow.
And as far as I could tell, like it was real cows being milked.
Yeah.
And she had this, when she was like in her element and winning, she had this like quite funny like head bob movement that she was doing. Like she was like milking into, like her head was bobbing in time to the milk and she was like really into it. Like it was just like, hey, she looks like a really proficient milker. Yeah. Like she's done some method acting.
Yeah. And it's like
lived on a farm for 3 months to do it.
And it's not even like the show's not even set in like rural Idaho. It's set in the hot desert California. Like, there's no reason for cow milking to be the thing, but it's like it speaks to me of some real like the writer's given creative freedom.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like let's make juggling the thing because juggling is cheap to put on.
Yeah.
They went out and got the cows and they brought them to California or they, you know, brought them to the set and they had hay bales and stuff and Alex Mack learned how to milk a cow.
Yeah, I thought it was
good. I appreciated the effort they put in.
I think we need more episodes like this where it's kind of like they tried to do it a bit in that golf episode and that running episode where it's just like Alex Mack does a different thing.
Yeah.
And I'd like the dynamic of Ray being the coach. I really like when he's just like just trying to encourage her.
Yeah.
And when he was kind of in her corner while she was getting milked and giving her a bit of pep talk and stuff.
She was getting milked.
Milking the cow. I got this very vivid image of like the Alex Mack Rocky crossover.
Yes.
Where she's like in the corner and Ray's like putting his hands around her and like getting her to spit in the bucket and stuff. Yeah. And she's like, I don't know, actually fighting Sylvester Stallone maybe.
Yeah, when they get a bit like looser, when the episodes get looser and sillier, they're so much better. And they can they can put together like a parody. Like remember when she had that fantasy where it was like she was in a Western shootout?
Yeah, yeah.
Like when the show's a bit stylized, it's really good.
Yeah, I think they need to do more of that stuff and lean more into just the weird situations that like little one-off episodes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was generally a pretty good episode. I normally am less into the episodes where it's just like doing normal school stuff.
Yeah.
But this, you know, it wasn't her going to class and like, I didn't do my homework.
Yeah.
I did want to see, she kept bringing up this scam to get free mini donuts. And I did just want to see what the scam was. Because also, like, I mean, she's got superpowers. I think it would be pretty easy
just
for
like
her
to. She's just stealing the donuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to see how me and Ray get mini donuts. We steal them when he's not looking. Yeah, it's rude.
But you think, I don't know, if you did have those superpowers, like, you probably would just steal shit, right?
I would steal so many mini donuts.
Oh. Yeah, why not? Float them right over to your mouth.
Yeah. Mm. I am imagining a scene where Alex is like marching proudly out of the mall and she's followed by all these mini donuts rolling towards her, like a mama duck with ducklings.
Yeah. Oh, mate, like, did you ever get those donut men?
Oh, yeah.
They're like donuts, but they're men.
Don't be a donut boy. Be a donut man.
Yeah.
that feels like something I would have seen at like the Donut King at the Southland at the shopping.
Yeah.
In the food court.
Yeah, they definitely had them there, but they had one day a week at our school. I think it was like Tuesday, which was like donut day, and you could get a donut man.
Oh yeah.
For like, I think it was only like $1.50.
Yeah, I bet it was.
And it was always just like, you had to make sure that you were getting out of class right on time because everyone would be like sprinting because they only had a certain amount, like pushing kids out of the way.
It's fucking donut man day!
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just imagining like her with a bunch of these little donut men kind of like walking behind her like, don't you want me, baby?
Did you have a great scam for getting free donut men?
No, I think it was always just like, because, you know, you'd like hang out with your friends in the same spot, eating lunch every day.
Yeah.
And whenever like someone got a donut and everyone else didn't, everyone would just be like, oh, can I have a bite of this donut?
Give a spit.
And I remember one day when one of my friends just got so fucking mad. He's like, no, you can have my donut. I got my donut. All right, jeez.
Get your own donut, man. We all know that Thursday's donut day. It's not a surprise, guys.
Prepare. Yeah, I don't know. It was a pretty light episode in terms of like the other friends and stuff.
Yeah.
But it streamlined, you know, moved along. Yeah, moved along.
And I thought, and I really thought it was a really good move on their part, even though it didn't really make any sense, have the milking competition on one day and then the judging the next day. Like it just helped. Like it was, there was a lot of locations for them to go to. It sort of jumped around and I think that helped with the pacing and the general sort of kept my interest.
Yeah. I like the sloppy lasagna.
Yeah.
That was my favorite bit. Just like, I can just imagine them going to like the props department and being like, okay, we're shooting in 5 minutes. We need something that looks like a lasagna. And then just like, I don't know, wetting some paper or something. Like,
I've got this thick cardboard.
There's some dog food in a newspaper. Yeah. Maybe that'll do.
Oh, gross. Hey, Callan, how about this?
She doesn't have a cat. Her mom's name isn't Pat. But she always, well, almost always wears a hat. Alex Mack wears a hat.
How about that?
Jack, I'm mad.
Are you mad this
week?
Can I guess what you're mad about?
Yep.
Are you mad that she didn't wear a farmer's hat?
That wasn't specifically what I was mad about.
Okay, because I'm f***ing furious about it.
Now that you mention it, yeah, I'm mad that she didn't wear a farmer's hat. What the f***?
What are you mad about, Cal?
It's the same hats.
It's the same hats every time.
The same hats. I've seen the maroon hat. I've seen the weird little beanie thing. Give me some more hats. This show is predominantly about hats. It's called Alex Hat, for f***'s sake.
Do you really think this show is called Alex Hat?
Yeah, that's what it's called, right?
Have you not been paying attention?
Alex Hat wears a hat. How about that?
Yeah, God. Almost always.
Almost. Yeah, no. Where's your hat budget gone?
Well, what are you doing,
Someone's
guys?
Embezzling some hat budget, somebody, I guess. Yeah.
Somebody down the line, one of the producers of it is like, yeah, hats are a really big deal. This show is going to be all about hats. It's our gimmick. It's our twist. And then the episodes go on and on and they finally deliver them. And the, you know, the studio says, where are all the hats? And this person is long gone.
Yeah. He's just laughing as he drives his convertible towards Las Vegas with dollar notes flying out behind him.
with a trunk full of hats. He's got it wrong.
His backseat is really full of like hat money.
Full of bootleg hats that he bought for the series, but he's now going to sell on the streets in Vegas.
Hats just don't cost that much. The 90s. Like,
in the 90s, there were hats everywhere.
Get a secondhand hat. Like, it was more expensive not to have a hat.
What with hat taxes being what they were?
You're like negatively gear your hat. Yeah. I'm getting sick of it, Jack. And I don't know what to do with all of this hat feels that I've got. I've got big hat mood. Well,
at least we've got this forum to chat about it. Like, you don't have to keep it bottled up.
That's true. I think, you know, it's important to have a safe space where you can talk about how angry you are that Alex Mack is wearing the same f***ing hat she wore last week. God damn it, Alex. What?
Is it just, is it just laziness? Like, there's trivia on IMDb about the hats. Like, still, it's a thing. It's what she's known for.
Yeah.
It's just 500 million hats.
I think like it's just disappointing. It's just like I'm not mad anymore. I'm just disappointed.
I feel sad for them. I pity them for not having all these hats.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's a lot of pressure to think, oh, new hat every week. How are you going to do it? But rise to the occasion.
Yeah, you know? And they don't need to be fancy hats.
It's just a different hat. It could just be a different colored cap. Come on. I've seen maroon. I'm sick of maroon. So much maroon.
God.
Give me a pink. Give me a purple.
Purple. Give me a beige. Purple hat. I love a purple hat.
Oh, so many colors. Yeah. There's a whole rainbow out there, guys.
Yeah.
Wear a rainbow hat.
Wear a Rastafarian hat.
Yeah, wear novelty hats. We haven't even got in that little hat with the propeller on it, a captain's hat. Come on. I don't understand why they don't get into the writer's room at the start of the season and the first thing that they do is map out the hat arc. What hats do we need to get Alex into this season and what is the story that we need to tell to get her in that hat?
What's the hat journey?
Because the show writes itself once you know the hats. Okay, yeah. Pirate hat. Great. She's going to be a pirate for an episode. Done.
Tick, that's episode 4.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, and then when you run out of hats, that's the end of the show, folks.
Safari hat, Alex in the jungle. Bam.
Exactly. Yeah, you know. Alex hunts the greatest game of all. Right. Yeah. It's a crying shame, Jack.
It is. And I mean sometimes there are other minor characters wearing novelty hats that you can pay attention to.
Yeah.
But just there was nothing in this episode.
Yeah.
For an episode that took place largely outside.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, be sun smart. Slip, slop, slap on a hat.
Ugh.
It's just a real disappointment.
Look, a down note in an otherwise wholly fulfilling episode.
Yeah, I'm going to have to mark it down, though. Partial credit.
Partial hat credit.
But, you know, there's always next week, Jack.
There is always next week. There's always
a comeback hat.
I think that should about do it for this episode of The Secret World of Callan Jack, in which Callan Jack watch Alex Mack. Callan, have you had a good time?
Yeah. Aside from the hats, you know. Look, I got pretty sourced. I got pretty heated. I got a little bit hot under the collar.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just because I love the hats.
I love the hats. I love chatting about the hats. And I just want them to make sure that we don't get to the end of the season. And I don't want to have to roll the hat chat song and then be like, no hats.
No hats again. Look, I wouldn't get so mad if I didn't care so much.
I admire your passion.
I'm mad because I love you. Alex Max hats.
Oh, well, I'm glad you've had a good time, Cal. So join us next week as we watch episode 13 of season 2 of The Secret World of
Spooky.
Alex Mack. No, we've already done that one. Until then, if you like, you can email us on secretworldpod@gmail.com. If you've got the time and the inclination, chuck us a rating and review on iTunes. That'd be pretty cool. Until next time, I've been Jack.
I've been Cal.
My best friend Ray thinks it's cool.
My sister Annie thinks I'm a science project.
And we'll speak to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.